But unfortunately, it seems to me, as we look back over the centuries, if we look back to the beginnings of Western ethics, it seems to me that Western ethics started off rather on the wrong foot. To begin with, our ethical tradition is a very composite thing, not to say mixed. There are all sorts of elements in it. There are elements derived from classical thought, classical tradition, that is to say, Greek and Roman tradition. Then there's the Judeo-Christian element. And also, especially in the case of some of the northern European countries, there are elements of Norse, Germanic, Teutonic, paganism. But though our ethical tradition in the West is composite, though it is made up of many interwoven strands, I think we may say fairly confidently that the Judeo-Christian element in our ethical heritage is very much the predominant one. This is, as it were, the official ethic to which, at least in the past, everybody officially subscribed, whatever their private practice or preference might have been. And we find that in this Judeo-Christian ethic, traditionally, we find that morality is usually conceived very much in terms of law. A moral obligation, a moral rule, an ethic is something which is laid upon man by God. And this is very well illustrated, as I'm sure most of you know, by the story of the origin of the Ten Commandments. I'm sure you've all read this episode. Of course, Bible reading isn't so common as it used to be, but at least I think you might have seen the film. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. I've seen Mount Sinai. It's not much more than a hill. But anyway, he went up Mount Sinai, and there, in the midst of storm and terror, thunder and lightning and flickering flames, he receives from God the Ten Commandments. And coming down from Mount Sinai, with, according to art anyway, with these two stone tablets tucked under his arm, like a couple of tombstones, he gives them in turn to the children of Israel. Now, this suggests, this in fact illustrates, if not demonstrates, this idea, this conception of ethics as something imposed on man, almost against his will, if you like, by a power, by an authority external to himself. God, after all, according to the Old Testament, has made man, formed him out of clay, formed him out of the dust of the earth, and breathed life into his nostrils. So man is God's creature, almost God's slave, you might say. A man's duty is to obey. Man's duty is to do as he is told. And not to obey, to disobey, is a sin. And this attitude is, of course, illustrated again by the story of the fall. Adam and Eve, as we all know, were punished for disobeying an apparently arbitrary order. God said, "Well, the fruit of such and such tree thou shalt not eat." Didn't give them any explanation, didn't tell them it was bad for them. In fact, it was very good for them. But they were forbidden to eat it. Now, we know these are all stories, these are all mythologies. No one believes them quite literally any longer, at least very few people. But the attitudes which they represent still persist, as we shall see a little later on. And the word, also incidentally, the word commandment itself, when we speak of the Ten Commandments, this also is very significant, that a moral law, a moral rule, is a commandment. It's something which you are commanded to do, as you were obliged to do, almost coerced into doing, by some power, some authority, external to yourself. Now, this is, of course, all from the Old Testament, and Christianity certainly goes beyond this conception. But it doesn't go very much beyond. And even then it goes beyond in a rather imperfect fashion. The source of specifically Christian ethics are, of course, Christ's teaching in the Gospels. But traditionally, theologically, Christ is regarded as God. So, obviously, when God tells you to do something, when God says, well, you should do this or you should do that, that comes with a terrific weight of authority, as it were. One is not asked to do something because it is good to do that, so much as because one is asked, almost commanded to do it, by one in whom reposes all power and all authority in heaven and on earth. So one gets the same idea, generally speaking, even within the context of Christian ethics, of ethics as something obligatory, something imposed upon from without, imposed upon one from without, something to which one must conform. This is the traditional idea. This is our traditional heritage. This is the mode of thought by which, consciously or unconsciously, we're all influenced when we think in terms of ethics. Something laid upon us from without. Nowadays, of course, we know the majority of people are not Christian in any meaningful sense. But they still do tend, nevertheless, to think of morality, to think of ethics, in this way, as an obligation laid upon them from without, a command, something which they are obliged to obey. We can, in fact, perhaps summarize the position of traditional ethics today by saying that it consists in not doing what we want to do and doing what we don't want to do because, for reasons which we don't understand, we've been told so by someone in whose existence we no longer believe. This is really the situation with regard today to traditional ethics. So no wonder we are confused. No wonder we have, as it were, no ethical signposts. We just sort of, well, in traditional British way, muddle through somehow or other, trying to make some sort of sense of our lives, trying to discover some sort of pattern in events. But where ethics is concerned, the picture, most of the time, is a sort of chaos.